Welcome to Deeply Rooted, a web series on mindset. My name is Tony Wisdom, aka Tony Gaines. I've spent over 20 years in the music business as a producer, engineer, label owner, and executive. This show is dedicated to changing the narrative on success. I reached out to the most successful people I know. I want to know what drives them, their greatest mistakes, their best advice, their secrets to success, and how all of that has shaped who they are today. Take a journey with us.
There we go, man. How you doing, brother?
Yes, sir. I'm making it. Got my weekend yard work knocked out and was able to, you know, make sure that I wanted to make sure that we got connected. You know, it's been we've been trying to do this a couple times now. So, you know, being able to see everything that you've been doing with this, it's an inspiration. It's uplifting. So I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to tap in.
No doubt, man. And, you know, honestly, man, you're the epitome of what this show is about. You know, we use the symbol of a tree, and you know, I just you think yourself and like where your tree is at, bro, and like what you did for your own personal community. Like some of those kids, man, would have a different path if it wasn't for you. You know, so you are deeply rooted, and you are the precise type of guest that I want to talk to, because it's a rare mindset that you have and that you pass on. You know what I'm saying? So before we get too far into it, can you kind of run me down like who Toby and Thomas is professionally, and like your football background and things like that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, from a professional standpoint, you know, I would say, you know, first and foremost, you know, a loving professional and personal, you know, loving husband, loving father, you know, individual that's been able to learn along the way and encounter some great people that have instilled, you know, the hard work, dedication, belief in self. You know, so just an individual that's going to try to go about doing things the right way and setting the path. You know, I'm the same way that every day I'm learning. Every day I'm learning to get better, whether it's in my professional career or, you know, personal leisure time activities. It's just the individual that's going to be real, who's going to be authentic, who's going to figure out a way to uplift the individuals around. And that's, I think I get that from some of my role models and individuals that I've been able to, you know, blessed to have in my life.
Yeah.
You know, so that's you know, in a nutshell, just, you know, you're going to get someone that's whenever he's fully committed is going to go all in to do, you know, everything that I can, anything that I'm involved in or that I touch, I want to leave it better than you know, whenever we first started.
No doubt.
So someone who's going to grind.
No doubt. Now, did you found the Crush organization or do you just head it?
So the Crush organization actually started with one team, and they actually were a year before I came on board.
Okay.
And so I had opportunity to get my son involved in Tony Barksdale's basketball program and the after school program going up to Hillcrest Community Center, Daryl Stewart, and they ran that. And so as I got him connected, Jeremiah Cunningham also ran that program. And so as I got connected with that, you know, and did my work with the Bears organization, Eric Kincaid and Brad and Chad Kincaid, and I was working with them doing that, and just, you know, through that and my playing, you know, years of playing football, I just had a vision on how I wanted to run a program, you know. And there's a lot of different ways to run it. There's, you know, so I'm not saying there's a right or a wrong way, but, you know, for you deal with a lot of different people on different levels, and everybody has different, you know, perspective on how they want to do things. So I had a vision on what I wanted the program to look like, and had an opportunity to talk with Tony, and he really wanted to expand that Crush program. So, you know, the more and more we talked and put together a plan, You know, he just said that take it and do whatever you want with it, grow it. And I had the opportunity to, that first year, get in there, meet some people, and I quickly realized that, hey, it's not just me. You know, the Crush program and where it is right now, it wasn't just solely rested on my efforts and my energy that was put in. But I wanted it done, and I wanted it done the right way. You know, in this particular, and in our community, a lot of times, you know, inner city kids are looked at a different way, you know, and not have the opportunities that other communities do. And that was something that I really wanted to tap into and provide an opportunity, provide the kind of positive environment for these youth, young student athletes to be able to use football as a tool to really help better them in life overall.
And, so, yep. Let me ask this. How many kids from the Crush organization have went to college?
You know, that's a good question. I would have to really take a step back and from a numbers standpoint, really calculate that. But I can honestly say that we've helped hundreds of kids.
See, that's what I'm saying.
College. And the thing about it is whether they were able to go as a student athlete and participate in football, basketball, baseball, track, or just, you know, finding a field, finding a career, or a degree, something that was of interest to them that they wanted to use as an avenue to grow, you know, they just as a student, you know, it's not just about, you know, the sport of it, but being able to use your opportunity as a tool to better your future. And so I would say hundreds. You know, I can
run down crazy. And name
a lot of kids, you know, whether it's, you know, the Larry Whites, the Will Whites, the, you know, I had opportunity to coach Turner Corcoran, had an opportunity to coach Jax Dineen, you know, my son, Kai Thomas, Mike McCoy. I can run down a list, and it's just to have the opportunity to make that kind of impact and show them that, hey, you can use your God-given ability to get better in other areas, get stronger in other areas of your life, and then use that as a way to grow.
That's dope. And you had one go to the NFL this year? That's dope.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We actually, you know, Tevin Jenkins, he got drafted in the second round by the Chicago Bears, and we were able to.
Oh, I lost him.
And we had the opportunity to really work with him. And you saw at a young age that he had it. He had the skill set. I remember in the sixth grade, you know, I'll give you a story about Tev real quick. You know, we were playing against the Wichita Ravens team. And close game. They were up by six. They were driving on us. And we had an opportunity to get a stop. We're driving, we get the ball, we drive back downfield, get the ball inside the 5-yard line. I'm thinking, okay, we're going to go ahead and score, tie the game up, and get the extra point. We fumble the ball. They recover the fumble at the 1-yard line. Their running back takes off. He's gone down the sideline, and I'm just like, oh. So well, we thought we were going to tie the game up. It looks like it's about to be a swing right here. And some of the fastest kids that we've had on our team was trying to catch his running back. Nobody could pull to him. And then all of a sudden, you see Tevin, who's playing like at the tackle position. You see big boy running. Was always putting that effort and that energy in. You know, he got about to the 50, and I'm thinking, okay, give us some effort. By the time he got to the 30, I'm like, Tevin might catch him. he catches him at about the 3-4 yard line, makes the tackle there. We call a timeout because he's gassing, you know, for air and everything. Next play, Tev breaks through the line, causes the kid to fumble the ball. We recover, march all the way back down, score to win the game.
That's dumb.
I remember to his dad after. I said, listen, he's going to be playing on Sundays one day. And him and his dad and I, we tell that story over the years, you know, but there's an example of a kid needing the village, the opportunity, the love and the support, and being able to get that kind of support and grow over the years, you know, and he wanted it. He put the hard work, he put the dedication, you know, into that. So so things like that, I love being able to tell stories like that. But there's hundreds more that might not be playing in the NFL right now, but still were able to go on and have good careers, whether they ended up going to college for and getting their nursing degree and doing, you know, different things like that, or they're teaching and even coaching right now. So that's what it's about. Elijah Lee, who's with the Cleveland Browns now. Getting drafted by Minnesota. He played with the 49ers, had a short stint with the Detroit Lions before, and now he's with the Cleveland Browns, but had opportunity to coach him and felt the same thing. In the sixth grade, it was like something, you knew this kid had something, and you want to be able to show them that, okay, athletically, that you have this ability, but you got to hone it, you got to work hard with it. And then the other side is, off of that, you know, being able to be around positive role models that are not just talking the talk, but walking the walk and showing them the right path on the things that they need to do to get their goals accomplished.
Yeah. And, you know, before we'll get into the interview after this, but one thing I noticed about your teams was, you know, it wasn't while they might have been quote unquote inner city teams, like everybody was respectful at the hotel, respectful on the way to the game. Like you run that, or you guys run that organization, and mindset is really what you're coaching. You guys are good, great football minds, but that mindset, you know. And then the last thing, like that team with Kai in them, for one, in my 44 years, I never saw a running back at that kid's age that could do what he could do. And I've also never seen a team more dominant in almost anything, like any sport. Like, that was a dominant-ass team. I remember that y'all made somebody quit on the kickoff of the game. They got one kickoff, one hit, game over. So, you know what I'm saying? So, it hats off to you, man. And that's, you know, I definitely wanted to get you on to show my appreciation for you, man. And from being somebody whose son you coached as well, you know what I'm saying? I just want to say thank you, man, for all that you do. You know, like you had a black and orange car, brother. Like you crushed through and through.
You know what I'm saying? It's in my heart. It's something that I'm very passionate about. But you know, the thing about it is, you know, I got a point to my grandfather and give him a shout out, John Thomas. His grandmother, I mean, my grandmother, Louise Thomas and John Thomas, they're in Ashford, Alabama right now. They still, I had an opportunity to talk with them earlier today, but you know, that's what it was. When I reflect back now, just myself as a coach and myself as a husband, myself as a father, and a lot of the things that I do now, it started with that man. And you know, he was taking me to football practices. You know, the first, my family probably wasn't too happy about my first opportunity to be able to play football, because I went and signed myself up. It was just something that I saw, you know, my friends and everybody doing. I'm like, where are you going? We're going to football practice. Okay, I'm going to football practice too. So I went to football practice. I'll never forget the day when I come walking down. I got my helmet on. I got my shoulder pads, proud as can be. And my mother was like, hold on, you've been gone for hours. I knew I was in trouble with my mother, but my grandfather had this smile on his face. And from that day on, he made sure I was at every practice. He was at every single one of my games, whether it was football, basketball, baseball. And I saw him. He did whatever it took to make sure that, you know, I had whatever I needed. You know, his grind every day, getting up, going to work, even whenever he didn't feel like going through it. You know, as from a health standpoint, he still made sure. And I saw how he grind. I saw how he treated all of the grandkids and his kids. And, you know, so it started with him. A lot of what I do, I can reflect back now to when I was younger, and I'm like, that's granddad, that's John.
Well, hats off, salute, Mr. John Thomas. Thank you, sir. So Toby, how do you define success?
Success is, you know, and I tell our kids this all the time. One of our things I'll ask them, are we champs or chumps? Mm-hmm. And some people will take that, you know, in a different kind of way. And it's not saying that, you know, just because you beat a team in a game, that means that, you know, you're the champ and they're chumps. I don't, the same way that I would define success is what I mean when I ask them if they're champs or chumps. And it's not defined by wins or losses. You can play your best. You can play your absolute best at something and still lose that game. That scoreboard, you gotta have something up there. You can play bad and still win. So it's what you learn along the way. What are you taking from each opportunity, each moment that's gonna help make you a better, stronger individual, and then make the people around you better. So success has to do with failing and learning from it, and being able to use that as an opportunity to get better. You know, it's a lot of people will keep track of how many we've won this many games and done all of this stuff in a row. I mean, that's fine and dandy, but at the end of the day, is it making the individuals that you're dealing with stronger? So that's what I would, from a success standpoint, is being able to, your highs and lows, being able to learn from those and use those in a way to make you stronger.
And I love that. It's the same thing John Wooden says, right? John Wooden says that we don't win or lose the game by the score on the board. He said, only you, the player, only you know if you won or lost. You know if you left it all out there and if you got better or if you cheated your way through this game. So I love that answer. Great answer, man. So what drives you? What's your why?
My why is... I would say my family, you know, my family, my kids, they mean the world to me. And I've gone through my whole time with the Crush program, being able to grow that. I never would have been able to do that, you know, without my family. I knew at 12 years old, like, believe it or not, at 12 years old, that I always wanted to do exactly what I'm doing right now. Wow. As far as being able to work in the community, being able to work with the youth, instilling them that drive and that passion. You know, my grandfather, yes, he played a big role in my upbringing and some of the things that I do right now. But I also was in a situation where, you know, my coming from a single mom who, you know, worked. I remember her working at Pizza Hut over the extra shifts, getting it in. And a lot of times, you know, she would grind. And I found myself at a young age, you know, taking care of my little brother, taking care of my little sister, and just going through some of those trials and tribulations. You know, the relationship that I have with my dad now versus, you know, back then were two different situations, and my grandfather was really able to step in and step up. But a lot of times whenever you're going through something like, you know, like that, and you don't have both parents in the home, it's easy to make excuses. It's easy to use, well, I didn't have this or I didn't have that, instead of, you know what, I'm about to lace these shoes up and get to work, you know, and the whole process of it. So yeah, being able to grow from that standpoint and know that regardless of whether people are gonna second guess you or doubt you, you know, they're gonna have all of the different things that they want to say about you, but it's about what you believe inside that's really gonna, you know, make or break it. You know, you can succumb to the negative talk and things like that, or, you know, you can say, I'm gonna show you, I'm gonna fight, I'm gonna battle no matter what. And that's what I tell our kids all the time. I think if a lot of people were to really look at our teams and the individuals that we had, and this goes back to whenever I was, you know, that sixth grade, when we go down to Tennessee to play in the tournaments, your son is on the team, and all of them, all I want was, hey, work hard, grind, give me everything you got, compete to the max. That's the way that I was whenever I played on the field, regardless of the sport. That's the way that I went at, you know, life in general. You know, I always felt like I had something to prove. But the thing is it wasn't something to prove to other people. It is something to prove to myself.
I love that. And that, I mean, I guess that kind of leads me to my next question, which kind of deals with failure, which I don't believe in failure, but that's how this question is worded. How has a failure or an apparent failure set you up for later success? And do you have a favorite failure?
I would say going. So I remember coming back from hanging out with my friends, and I wouldn't say this was a failure, but it was something that just stuck to me. I had a really close relationship with my Uncle Dennis, and you know, he ended up passing away and got in a car accident, and it was a tough time. It was difficult for me to understand and the why, you know. And I remember, you know, my grandmother always, she was strong. She was a rock through the whole process of it, and trying to, you know, make sense of it at an early age. The only thing that I can remember is how much I love my Uncle Dennis and being around him and just looked up to him so much. To the point to where, you know, I was like, okay, I want to wear his number, you know, but he was number 62, and I was a running back, so I can't wear number 62. So what am I? I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna take 6 + 2, and I'm gonna add it together. I'm number 8, and so I took that and I grinded with that and went through the process of it, and it didn't stop there. You know, from a situation that I put myself in, and the reason why I'm so passionate and talking with youth about taking care of business and doing the things you got to do. My senior year in high school, I had a lot of different schools looking at me. I had getting a lot of letters, getting, you know, and just feeling great about myself and the opportunities that were in front of me. But I let my grades slip. And it was just like, hey, you can't have one without the other. So that situation right there, what it showed me was, number one, you're never too big to get knocked down, you know, knocked off of that pedestal. But what it also did was it allowed me to see who was real and who was not, as far as who was in my life at that time. Because some of the people that I thought were my friends, you know, they, ha ha ha, look at you now, let me kick at you. The ones that were real, the family that was real, you know, they stayed near and dear, and we stayed the course. We stayed the course, and because of that, I, coming from Utica, New York, had the opportunity to land in Topeka, Kansas. You know, I never would have had that opportunity if I didn't go through that failure right there of not doing what I needed to do grade wise. You know, I could have, you know, stayed right there, not chase my dreams or anything like that. And of course, back then I'm thinking I need to go D1. I need to go D1. And from a talent standpoint, I feel like, yes, D1 talent. Yeah. But I didn't put myself in the position initially where I needed to be. And it created a different path for me.
Also, it gives you that validity when you're talking to your kids, because it's not theory you're talking. Like right. I actually did that. You know what I'm saying? So that's exactly why I don't believe in failures, because it's not a failure. It's just it's a propelling spot that you either makes you or break you. Some people allow it to break them. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so that's dope. So, okay, what is one of the best or most worthwhile investments you've ever made? Could be investment of money, of time, energy, etc.
One of the best in investments, and I don't want this to come across the wrong way. My wife, my wife, Stephanie Thomas, just having the opportunity, and it's, this goes kind of back to what I was just talking about, because of the path, the different route that I had to take, being academically ineligible and still having to fight through my senior year, going to prep school in Pittsfield, Maine, and even still, being young, coming from New York to here, I was still wild, still hadn't, you know, matured like I needed to, and found myself in Hutchinson, Kansas. Mm. Think about that. Go Utica, New York, Pittsfield, Maine, Topeka, Kansas, and then Hutchinson, Kansas. So I'm in Hutchinson, Kansas, and it's funny how things work out, because in Hutchinson, Kansas is where I met my wife. Mm. And met her. Hey, how you doing? We went probably another year before we bumped into each other again. And so Eric Kincaid calls me on the phone and tells me about a semi-pro team that's going on in Topeka, the Topeka Tigers, come and play. And at the time, I was still trying to, you know, figure out, am I going to keep going the path with the college? And I had a little bit of eligibility left and said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and play. And I come back and I'm looking for a pair of gloves, football gloves. I'm running through the mall. Who do I bump into? Stephanie, who had, you know, was working at American Eagle. We ended up bumping into each other, exchanged contact information. I had a game to go to, and fast forward, the rest is history. You know, yes, I wanted to go D1. Yes, I wanted different opportunities, but had I not gone through those trials and tribulations, had I not gone to Pittsfield, Maine, and ended up in Topeka, Kansas, you know, then I don't meet my wife, and I don't have my son Kai, I don't have my daughter Talea, my son Sai, and Vi, and the opportunity that we have now to grow old together, and so that is probably, I don't know, from an investment standpoint or being lucky, you know, taking advantage of the opportunity that was there. It all ties together as far as, and then you got to put the time, the energy, and the work in. It's always, you know, I may not be the best father in the world or the best husband in the world, but it's something that you can push for and you can work towards. So whenever I'm talking to our kids, whether it's football players, and I'm explaining to them, like, hey, you got to grind. You got to constantly push yourself to get better. It's not just from the sports standpoint, but being ready, being in the moment, and then take advantage of the opportunities that you have. And it's the people that you pull in.
Man, I've asked that question probably 20 plus times. That's my favorite answer, man. Great answer, bro. And you know, those are some brownie points. I'm sure you just earned some brownie points. This guy's, you got something. What small act of kindness were you once shown that you'll never forget?
What small act of kindness that I'll never forget? So 7 years ago, I got diagnosed with a scleroderma. It's an autoimmune disease that can affect your skin. It can affect your internal organs. And it's something that, you know, a lot of people may or may not know, but it's something that I've been grinding and dealing with on a daily basis. You know, it's something that's not curable, but you can, it can be managed through medication. It can be managed through meditation, eating right, dieting right, and things like that. But it's so up and down, and it can be real active and then or not. But the reason why I bring that up is because, you know, when it first started, you know, I felt like from high school to college and then playing an indoor ball, I felt like at the time I was in the best shape of my life. I'm working out, I'm doing title boxing, hitting it hard. Our kids, whether they play with Crush or not, I was getting a group of kids together. We're going and we're getting these workouts in. I think I was even coaching my daughter's basketball team, and I had them coming to workouts and things like that. Everything's going good, but then something kind of, you know, fell off balance. And so my skin started changing colors, and I'm trying to figure it out. Why is it drying out and everything? I go to a dermatologist, and my dermatologist, you know, we for almost a year, we trying to figure it out. And we were at the end, like, I think we almost exhausted, you know, all of the resources we could. And he did something that he didn't have to do. You know, he could have passed it on. This was out of, you know, what he, as a dermatologist, you do. But he was like, you know what, I want to run this test. Didn't have to do it, you know. And a lot of times when you deal with professionals like that, some of them will take that, you know, that extra step, and others will kind of, you know, hey, that's not what I deal with. Yeah. But he took that extra step, and because he did that, we were able to get a biopsy, get a couple of tests done, figure out and pinpoint exactly what it was. You know, had he not done that, we could have been 2, 3, 4 years down the road trying to get it figured out, and who knows how it could have affected me, my internal organs, you know, then. So that I look at that as an act of kindness, because without him taking that extra step, they could have prolonged things and kind of put me in a situation to where, you know, who knows what could have happened, you know, but doing that extra. So I mean, that's another reason why I'm still passionate about what it is that I do and to keep pushing forward. And I try to do everything I can to, whenever I'm dealing with our youth and trying to put them in the best situation possible. If it's, hey, you need a ride to get to college because school is getting ready to start, all right, we'll get that figured out. You got to take a summer class because you know, might have had a couple stumbles down there. Let's figure out a way to get the money to get it taken care of. Thanksgiving. You might not have meals at home. Let's figure out a way to get that done. I'm always looking to do that extra and go that extra mile, because, you know, along the way, I not just in that situation with my dermatologist that I talked about, but I've had a lot of other situations that could have went the other way for me, but individuals like that kind of stepped up. And I would say that part of me being the coach that I am right now and being the individual that wants to help, you know, I've Mike Michonne, Pat Nunn, you know, these are coaches that went the extra mile for me, you know, growing up, and a lot of things that they helped instill in myself. So, you know, I want to give back as much as I can. I want to help as many individuals as possible. And so
I would say that you're doing that, bro. It's not even a want. It's what you're doing, you know, and what you've been doing. And that's why things like that come to you. You know what I'm saying? I'm a firm believer that the secret to living is giving. You know what I'm saying? And because in that moment when you give authentically, you know, all the pain and suffering kind of goes away in that moment. And you can have as many moments like that as you choose to have. And it's not money. It's not, like you said, it can be just a ride, just an ear, just whatever, just some encouragement, just running an extra test when you don't have to, you know what I mean? So right. Yeah, I love that. Great answer. So in the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
You know, this is one that's from a habit standpoint, actually belief. From a belief standpoint, you know, we used to really, when I talked to you about being diagnosed with scleroderma and going through that process, you know, it was, and I would say up until, you know, a year ago, you know, whenever you're dealing with something like that in life, it's important that for me, it was important for my kids to see me getting up and grinding and dealing with this and taking it on, you know, head to head. You know, we're going to battle, you know, with this. And I was in a situation to where it was just like, okay, everything that you push out there, I went from the why me, you know, I'm going through all of this and I'm in the community, I'm doing what I gotta do, I'm helping, I'm giving back, why me, you know? And then I had to get out of that stage, that why me stage, and it changed to why not? Why not me? I'd rather go through this than my kids go through it. I'd rather go through this than, you know, my grandparents going through it. I'd rather go through this than my wife or my best friends go. But let me go ahead and shoulder this and fight through it and grind. And I'm not saying it's always been that uplifting, upbeat. There's times where I'm like, okay, I'm getting my butt kicked here. All right, let's weave, let's bob, and the supports, the systems that you have around you, the family, the friends, you know, encouraging you to keep pushing on. You know, this Crush program, the organization, for me, it's a village, it's a family. So everything that I put into it at the beginning, whenever, as far as what we needed to do and what the program needed to stay strong, ended up being the same energy, the same love, the same people that were there for me whenever I needed it. Yeah. And a lot of them don't know it, but you know, if you are looking or listening to this, there's so many people that I can call out in name that have been there and so many trying times to where some of you might not even know it. You know, I had a smile on my face. I was upbeat. I'm constantly going, getting to and from practices. But then privately, look, it could have been more of a struggle. But those same individuals, that same love, that same push and passion is what helped me get through a lot of trying times.
That's dope. That's great. And it's a perfect example of, you know, what you put out, you get back. Some people call it karma, whatever not, but like, you know, and I'm also a firm believer in this, things don't happen to you, they happen for you, right? So just like, cause when, you know, when I got shot in 2014, right? And it was a bunch of, you know, got hit a bunch of times or whatever not, just like you, it was very important for me to show my kids how to get back up. How to react to a situation like this without anger or wanting to seek revenge or you know, making the situation worse. You know, I from the moment I woke up out of surgery, I was the happiest dude on earth, you know. And Elias, he came in the day I woke up, he saw me. I told him, hey, man, I'm good, you know. That kid left the hospital, went and played a tournament and dropped 20 on them. You know what I'm saying? It was like, and that just, it really meant something to me, man. So I definitely feel you with that, man. It's like, and again, so there, and that will go to things not happening to you, but happening for you, because now that just strengthens your story. That just builds your character. That just gives you more to use for fuel as a leader. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's very dope. What advice would you give to a kid about to enter the real world?
Don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to take risks. And don't let someone else's words or beliefs or thoughts put you in a situation to where you doubt your ability. You doubt you're pushing your drive to accomplish the dreams and goals that you want to accomplish. Like there's dream big, you know. There's so many people sometimes can knock people off path, you know, with the words or the lack of support, and it's not. There's so many different things that can be accomplished. You take a look at all of these, whether they're famous people that are, you know, on TV, that are playing in the league, that might be big time doctors or whatever the case may be. You know, there's so much opportunity that's out there. Don't let anybody knock you off of what you feel in your heart and what you want to get accomplished, just because they might not see that vision, just because they might not, you know, have that ability, doesn't mean that you don't give your all and shoot for what it is you want, you know. And that's something that we talk about all the time. And some of the things that even in our football practices and stuff like that, you know, we're doing up downs. I have people run your feet. We hit the ground and you can hear the moan sometimes after we get 10, 11, 12, 13 into it, and they hit it again. And the whole time I'm saying, look, life is going to knock you down. Sometimes you're going to get knocked down. You're going to get knocked down. How quick can you get back up? Boom, I blow that whistle again. They hit me. And every time, like the grind and everything that you put into it, you know, I got something that my coach, Mr. Michonne, in the summertime when I played American Legion ball, he would always have us reading different books or different quotes and different sayings and everything. And, you know, this one stuck with me, and we said it all the time. You know, it was Thomas Paine, and we had to know it from start to finish. And I've never, these are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will in this crisis shrink from the surface of this earth. But he who stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. We have this consolation. The harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. The harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Whatever's in front of you doesn't mean that has to be the final. It's not a period or explanation point that's right there. Whatever that is put in front of you, you grind, you fight, you do everything that you got to do to either break through it, go over it, go around it, whatever the case may be. As hard as it is going to be able to overcome all of that, or to be able to put that work in and then get to your final goal or your dream, that's that ultimate triumph. And that's something that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Mm-hmm. I've taken that with me, and I've instilled it into my kids so much to the point that where when Kai decided he wanted to get tattoos, he has it on the inside of his arm. The harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Wow. And for him to take that on his own and say, hey, he came to me, Dad, the quote, what you always been saying, and showed that to me, and I'm just looking like, wow, you know, that's something, and it means a lot, but it'll get you through so much, you know, if you believe that in your heart. And so, yep, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph.
I love it. I love it, man. So our mantra here, that's what's kind of, because that sounds like your mantra, right? Like our mantra here at Deeply Rooted is kill the ego, ignite the soul. What does that mean to you?
Kill the ego and ignite the soul?
Yes, sir.
To me, that would be keeping calm and keeping everything on at an even keel, you know. Instead of, it's easy to get, you know, big headed and about immediate successes and things of that nature. It's easy to sometimes be delusional a bit, you know. And what I mean by that is, you know, you can be humble, be grateful for what it is that you have, because as quickly as you have it, it can be gone just like that. So you can beat on your chest at those early successes and call it good right there, and they dry out. Then what? Yeah. You know, what else do you have that's gonna allow you to get through that and then keep pushing and to keep driving? And you know, especially in the world that we live in now, social media and everything that's going on in the world, it's real easy to point somebody else out. It's real easy to, you know, I knock somebody else down, or just because you might not agree with a certain situation or a certain topic, it's easy to take all of that and your successes and look at it as a way to kind of look down on people, you know. Mm-hmm. But at the same aspect, it's like this: you get out what you put in. But if you're not careful, you know, if you're not humble, if you're not appreciative, then it can all be taken away. And I feel like, you know, maybe I went through a time in my life to where I lost sight of that, you know, and I feel like whenever I was diagnosed with scleroderma, it slowed me down. It made me really sit back and reflect. Like sometimes when you say, you know, I love this or I love that, and you can get so used to saying things like that. And okay, now do you really mean it? Do you really feel it? And it changed everything. I started appreciating so much of so many of the little things. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Instead of I'm about to go out and kick it with my boys. I'm about to take my butt home. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting ready to go home, and I want to be around my kids. I want to, you know, I every single day, you know, I just want to do something that is going to make me feel proud about myself, but also the individuals that I have around me. And that's what makes it like whenever you're not getting so big headed and doing things or having successes that you feel that you know, you are giving back, but at the same time, you know, you're not doing it for, you're doing it out of the kindness of your heart. You're not doing it for people to be ringing the bell, like, hey, giving me all these accolades, patting me on the back, whether what I do, I'm doing regardless, whether somebody's patting me on the back about it or not, you know, and that's where, it, so.
Well, I see that. Yeah.
And that's the soul. It's in my soul to be
exactly
to be given and to do the things that I do. And I think that people that come in encounter with me, see the authenticity, you know, of that, and that's what it's about. I'm not this crush program. Everything that I do, being in the community, this is not. I have not been able to do this by myself. I don't stand there and say, "Oh, look what Toby and Thomas did." No, this is what Jared Florence had a lot of to do with this. John Jones, Eric Kincaid, Brad Kincaid, Natalie Carr. I talked about the impact that my wife Stephanie's had. Like, there's been so many people along the way that have created this, and it, like our crush, it's a family, and I didn't do this by myself. I was fortunate enough to run into some really good people, and through all of this, we brought families together that otherwise never would have had the opportunity to cross paths. You know, I prided myself on us having, you know, one of the most diverse programs around, and it's not just, hey, we're just going to look for the best player here, the best player there. We've been able to work with kids from ground zero, and it's the same thing I tell you. The season starts, we're getting going. Our goal is by the time you leave and you walk out of here, you're better than whenever you started. And it doesn't matter the talent level or whatever. You know, that's one thing that I do got to mention. You know, we don't cut kids. We don't, you know, and a lot of people will, as far from a program standpoint, I wish more programs were like that. And what I mean by that is, whether the kid has great talent or you feel that they don't, or it may be lesser, whatever the case may be, figure out a way to work with those individuals to help make them better. You know, I think we're in a money grab kind of society now, and to where you got national championships that pop up all over the place and different things, tournaments you can play in, and people go, I'm a national champ here. Every other weekend there's a national championship, you know, and you got people that only want to go after the top players and things like that. No, you never know with that one kid, that if he just got that, the work and the nourishment and the support and the guidance, you never know how that kid is going to turn out. He might be president one day.
I love that about you, bro. I love that about your program. And again, thank you, man. Thank you for just putting that example into the community, you know? So when you feel overwhelmed or unfocused or have lost your focus temporarily, what do you do?
I rely on my family. I rely on my family, you know, and I wouldn't sit here and say that, you know, sometimes you gotta reflect and then move. Like the times that I feel like I'm stuck or in a situation where I'm down a bit, I try to do more for others, because it'll help you see things from a different way. Like I've been in situations to where I've car washed. I'm washing my car and I see two individuals, and this just happened last month. Two individuals that were actually, to answer your question, I clean.
Okay.
I'll just get into a groove to where I'm cleaning, but at the same time, it's like meditation for me. Mm. You know, the other thing that I feel that's soothing is I love to drive. You know, but at the same time, I use that as an opportunity to kind of clear my mind and you know, refocus and think of different things that I could have done differently. And I use the individuals that are around me, you know, and that's why it's important to surround yourself with good people and surround yourself with people that you know, have some of the same visions and goals and thought process that you have. You know, you got to be very careful of the people that you allow into your circle. And, you know, some of them will pretend to be there for you. Some of them will pretend to, you know, to really care. But when it really comes down to it, you know, are you there? You know, and are you able to, the same way that I'm reaching out and trying to do everything that I can for individuals, you know, the right people around you are also going to be the individuals that know you and be able to see, okay, he's smiling, but I sense that something is wrong. Let me talk to my guy and let me, you know, get down to dig a little bit deeper, you know, and allow. So it's the people that you have in your circle, also them knowing you and not be, don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, I have, if you take a look at over the last couple of years and everything that's going on, I think we all know somebody who's dealt with depression in some way, shape, form or fashion. Yeah. Some at a greater degree and some, you know, at a lesser. But, you know, I think that over, I definitely went through times like that, whether you still seeing me on the go or going through football practice and doing different things like that and constantly, you know, being upbeat, you know, I have no problem with saying that, you know, hey, I had to deal with depression and how I chose to deal with it. It some people, it may take you a little bit longer than others to kind of get through that process. But, you know, be willing to put yourself out there and in your vulnerable state, be willing to put yourself out there, be willing to receive help, be willing to listen, be, you know, willing to talk. And sometimes, you know, we as men, you know, the macho-ness that's in us at times, you know, we don't want to open up. We don't want to communicate and talk. And that's one thing that I've done a better job of. But, you know, it's still a work in progress. And the more that you're able to communicate and then be willing to take in, you know, the conversation and the real talk, you know, the better for you.
Let's go. If you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say and why? Could be a few words or a paragraph.
One big one. There's a couple of things that I would throw on there. And I mean, just right offhand, one of the things that I talked about earlier, the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. I mean, that's something that sticks so deep to me, because you go through so many things in life, so many trials and tribulations in life, and you can lay down or you can push through it and see that end result. You know, if you give up on your hopes and dreams, then, you know, you never know. It's always that coulda, shoulda, woulda, or what if. So the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. That's one that I would have on the billboard. And, you know, love, you know, just it's real, it's authentic. And the more love that you can show to, you know, to your neighbor, the more love that you can show to even your competitor, you know, it can take you a long way. I think we're definitely in a time right now to where love is needed. And I always, not to knock certain seasons and things like that down, but whenever you have, you take a look at the holidays, right? You got individuals. I always was fascinated by this, and everybody's going to have, you know, their certain religious beliefs. You got your personal beliefs, whatever the case may be. But when the holidays really roll around, I always sit back and watch. Like, you have so many happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and individuals that will come out and be in the holiday spirit and jolly. And my thought always crosses my mind, like, why aren't we like this all the time? Why aren't we like this all the time? It doesn't have to be happy Thanksgiving. How you doing, sir? How's your day going? You know, we'll do it around the holidays. Or I'm not saying there aren't people out there that aren't that way all the time. But if you pay attention to whenever the holidays roll around, everybody wants to be in the spirit. Mm-hmm. Why not all the time? Why not more often anyway?
That's a great observation, man.
Yep. So, but I will go back to, the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. I would have on that billboard. I would have love on that billboard. And hey.
Well, let me add something. Crush, I know. So right quick. What is that crush? What is the acronym? Yep,
I got you. So the C is compete. No matter what, you got to compete. The ups, downs, or whatever, compete. That's going to take you a long way. The R is rock solid. Whatever you do, do it with that hard passion, that drive, and keep pushing. You got to stay rock solid. You know, unity. It's not just the. And you yourself, you know, it, everybody, we want that unity. We push it, we preach it, and that's what makes the world a better place. S, sacrifice. You got to sacrifice, you know, whether it's your time, whether it's your energy, whether it's money, finance, I've taken different opportunities, you know, that sacrifice, that grind, it's something that's needed, you know, in order to succeed. And then the H, hard work and dedication, you know, it's keep grinding, keep putting in the work. You want to see different results. You want to see better results. Then put that hard work in. You know, nothing in life is going to come easy. You know, Kai and I talk often, you know, he's in a great situation up at the University of Minnesota, but, you know, going away from home for the first time and being that far away from home, and you come off of being, you know, the Kansas Gatorade Player of the Year for football and doing all of that stuff. Well, guess what? The grind, all of that restarts over, and it's to a whole nother level. So you need that hard work mentality, you know, and we always say we are family, we are crush. And that's what that whole deal's about. It puts it all together, because from competing all the way to the end, and then knowing that we are family, you're not by yourself. You got this backing, you got this support. Now, whatever it is in life that you want, go get it.
So definitely, I love that, man. And salute to the entire organization, because like you said, it's not just you. So salute to the entire. And something I, now what I want to add to love right quick, because it's something I heard today and it just it stuck with me. All right. So there was a let's say a monk. Right. He saw a guy eating a fish sandwich, eating fish. And he said, why are you eating fish? Why are you eating the fish? And the guy said, because I love fish. He said, well, if you love the fish, you would have left it in the sea and you wouldn't be eating it. What you actually love is what the fish gives you and what a good taste, a good meal. He said, so don't have fish love. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So love. So, and it's also like, you know, if you love a flower, don't pick it, let it grow. Same thing. Right. So I, you know, yeah. I just wanted to share that right quick. So, and we'll end this right here, but this last one, just for my music background, I always got to throw this in there.
Okay.
What song would you consider the soundtrack to your life? Or is there a song that you turn to for strength?
What song? What song? That's a good question. Which song? One song. Man, you got me on that one. What song? Okay. I would say one that I always catch myself kind of just hitting a little bit of is John Legend, and it's I always that I could change.
I love that song. Yeah, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. And it's not just necessarily like your personal relationship that you have with your significant other, but it's everything that you that's in your life that you're dealing with. You got to be willing to change for the better. You got to be willing to continuously grow. Like, you know, the same way that we want our the kids and our youth to learn, to listen, and to grow. As an individual, as a coach, as a husband, as a father, I'm always looking to get better. I'm always looking to grow and to add on to, you know, what my life lessons are, you know, and what they've been. So that I can change. And you know, the individuals that think they already got it figured out and they boom. And you stop right there, then you stop the growth. But if you're willing to change for the better, if you're willing to listen, then you're gonna continuously get better as a person.
Dope, great answer, bro.
For you,
yes, sir.
I know we got to go real quick, and I know this was a little while back, but knowing your background and the music industry, I gotta take a minute. Number one, to give a shout out to Jada. Sheik Looch and Styles P. But this recent versus battle between between the Locks and Dipset.
Okay.
Hey, that for hip hop, for the culture, for the different, just being able to go through that and watch it from start to finish, man. I thought that was something that was real dope and. For the culture, for just to be able to see, it was very refreshing. Now people are gonna have their comments here, there, or whatever the case may be. Yes, one of my favorites is Jada and the Locks, but to be able to see that for the culture. What'd you think about that?
I love it, man. I love just verses in general. You know, like you get to see Bobby Brown, Keith Sweat, SWV versus Escape, Like, there's just been so many great ones. That was one of my favorite ones, is just because they really put on a show, and that was like so New York, you know what I'm saying? And right. I'm biased. I wasn't really ever a Dipset fan, you know what I'm saying? So it's like I was biased, and then my guys just showed up and showed out there, and they look like a crush team pulling up to a tournament.
When Jada said, "We are crushing you." I felt it.
No doubt.
And that's, you know, that was a great moment. But, you know, at the same time, that energy, that vibe, that love, that's what Crush is about. We push. So it was great to see that.
I agree, man. So, Toby, man, thank you for taking the time to do this, brother. I'm one of your biggest fans. Again, thank you for all you do in the community. Thank you for all you put into that organization and all that organization does for the community as well. So, nothing but respect, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you for what you're doing and the opportunity that you're giving. You're bringing a lot of people together. Your positive message, and it always hits on time. You know, you got a lot of members. Keep doing what you're doing.
It's
very much needed, and I appreciate you, bro. Thank you.
No doubt. I appreciate you, homie. Have a great night.
All right. You too.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, I'm going to take a break, and we're coming right back with another dude just like that. But, man, Tobian is so awesome. I know we went a long time, man, but it was worth every second. I just really get a lot out of these dudes, man, and it inspires me. So I just want to say thank you again to Toby. Thank you to y'all for tuning in. Definitely share this. If you get something out of this, man, share it. If you get something out of the group, share it. Go to the website. Check out the billboards. You know, every single guest, when they give that billboard answer, we make T-shirts for that. You know, that we give money, pretty much all the proceeds back to charity, you know. So support that. Check us out on Instagram. One love. I'll be back in about 15 minutes, y'all.